call us to order. Excellent. Right. Thanks. I guess, do I need to know the time, 4:05?
Oh, I know the time.
Okay, so good. Good. All right. Okay. Do you want to do a roll call?
Yes. Okay, so Aaron Boyd.
Here.
Noelle Loughran.
Here.
Did I pronounce that right?
Loughran.
Loughran.
Super close.
Okay, Loughran. Thank you,
It's not easy.
Donald Barrett did let me know that he would be absent today, so he won't be here. Bernard Rotner.
Present.
Thank you. Berlinda Blackburn.
Here.
Thank you. Paul Murphy, absent. And then Donald Ziegler. Right. And with that, we have a quorum.
Great. Do we want to go into public comments? Do we have any I don't think we have the public here.
No.
So I don't think we have any comments from
no
the public.
No public comments.
Excellent. So we'll move on to staff comments.
Yes. I do have one staff comment. I did want to share that we did make some changes to the agenda compared to last agendas. So we have now separated committee member comments and staff comments. So you'll see committee member comments on the agenda as number 8, and this is where CAC members can share comments that they have on the agenda, as well as to share ideas on future discussion topics. And also we could also have discussion during this period as well. So I just wanted to share that if you do have a discussion topic that you'd like to share with us, that would be the best time to share it. And that is all. Any questions on that?
No.
Okay. Then we can go into discussion. Okay. So with our...
Do we want to do the approve the meeting?
Oh, thank you. I skipped over that.
No accident. Worries.
Okay, yes. Yes, we'll go into consent. Okay. Do we have any questions on the meeting minutes or any corrections anybody would like to make?
That's good.
No? Okay. And, okay, do we have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
A second.
Thank you. Okay. And then with that, we can jump into discussion action. We'll go ahead for right now, skip over A as we wait for our presenter. So we can go ahead and jump into item 6B. So that is the establishing regular meeting schedule. So thank you, everybody, for responding to the recurring meeting poll. That was very helpful. And we went ahead and we were able to narrow it down to just 5 dates. And so Mondays and Thursdays work best for everybody. And so with that, I would like us to kind of go into a vote on to just to select one day out of this list, because everybody responded these all work for everybody, but which one would be the winner? So I guess, does anybody have a number one preference? Yes, Bernard?
May I ask on the Thursday, what was the time that worked for everyone? Was it an afternoon?
Oh, yes. It's the third Thursday and the fourth Thursday of the month, and it's 3 to 4 p.m. for both.
They're in the staff report, Bernard, down at the bottom.
Sorry.
No worries.
Could I have a raise? The Palm Desert City Council meets on Thursday afternoons, and they meet on a biweekly schedule, so we never know. It could be the third or fourth Thursday. It's not a sufficient reason if other people would prefer Thursdays, but I do like to go to those meetings now and then, and would rather not have that. Oh. I would prefer Monday, I guess.
Oh, understood. Okay. So we can go ahead and look at the Monday dates.
Monday, 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock works.
All right. Okay, sounds good. Yes. So to make sure we have a vote from everybody, does the second Monday 3 to 4 p.m. sound good for everybody? We can do an aye or a nay.
Aye.
All right, aye.
Oh, that's great.
We have a consensus on second Monday, 3 to 4 p.m. Great.
So when does that make our, because we do, are we doing every other month?
So
when does that make our next one?
Yes, we try to do the CAC meetings somewhat on a bi-monthly basis. It's alternating with the DCE board. So the next DCE board is planned for April, but right now they are determining whether they want to keep that meeting or not. So if that's the case, our next meeting will either be May or June. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And when will we, when will we know?
We should have a definite answer by the 10th. That's when our administration determines whether we're going to continue a meeting or not.
Will you just, as soon as that, will you let people know so they can get it on their calendars, whether it's May or June?
Of course, yes. Okay, so give me just a few minutes while I check in with our presenter. Josh, can you hear us okay?
Hey, Savannah, are you guys there?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear. Okay, and then, so you could see us, and this isn't being recorded, by the way. It's just Josh being able to see our faces, and we could see his face when he comes on. Wait, do I have it to... Yeah. So feel free, so there's Josh's picture. Feel free to share your presentation, Josh, when you are ready. And then please start off by introducing yourself.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we hear you now. You might have been muted.
I can't hear you.
Oh, you can't hear us.
Oh, I can hear you now.
Oh, that's strange. Okay.
Sorry, I have my camera.
Hi.
There you are.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. So, Josh, go ahead and tell us about yourself. Tell us who you work for, of course, and then you can go ahead and share your presentation when you have it up.
Okay. I have that in the presentation, too, so I will I'll bring it up, or I can do it now.
whatever you feel comfortable with. I don't mean to throw off your timeline.
Yeah, no. Here, let me bring it up real quick. Oh, I got to have – you have to allow me to share.
There we go. Oh, I just allowed you to have presenter access.
Okay. Okay. You guys all see this?
Yes, we see it.
Okay. All right. So, I'll get started. So, nice to meet you all. My name is Josh Zipperman. I'm with Burk Ricks Communications. We're based here in Palm Springs. And sorry I'm not there in person, but I just had a crazy day and thought this would be easier with the presentation. So I hope you don't mind. But a little bit about myself. So our firm, Burk Ricks Communications, and I'll go to the slide. We've been in the desert in Palm Springs. We're based in Palm Springs. And let's see, we launched our firm in 2007. So a little 17, 18 years now. And we specialize primarily in communications, government relations, and community outreach. We've worked with a lot of the different cities and public agencies throughout the Coachella Valley. We've done a lot of work on different energy projects throughout our time, and we are a diverse business enterprise, a certified LGBT business enterprise with the CPUC, and diversity and inclusion are really core values of our firm and important in all the work that we do. And then we have been working on DCE since its launch in 2020, and in the kind of the start of the program in 2018, developing the name, the branding, the early materials. And this was all kind of in the beginning days of community choice energy programs, when I think there's only one or two in the entire state. So we've been working on this since the very beginning, and really trying to help educate the public, and still are, as to what community choice energy programs are and how they work, and how the DCE in particular work in comparison to some of the others in the Valley. So So it's a little bit about me, and created this little slide as a little bit of a funny way of saying I think we help power DCE to some extent. So we really focus on these core areas of the program. So marketing, helping with the overall strategy and brand management, development of different materials and advertisements, carrying that over to notifications, everything from mailers to email blasts to flyers, and then everything related to outreach from stakeholder engagement to workshops and events, and then social media management, managing the post, calendar of the content creation and calendar, and then we also help with the website updates and management and new content. So as I'm sure you all know, everything that we're doing is kind of focused on promoting the core goals of the program. So I don't know if I need to go into all of these, but, you know, really trying to emphasize the local control and the reduction in greenhouse gas emissions and how DCE is really doing is helping us to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and promote a clean energy economy. So when we launched the program, a lot of our messaging was focused on the power of choice. You know, just educating folks to that now they do have a choice and where they get the energy and how clean it is. You know, and they have options in terms of the different, going carbon free or doing the Desert Saver program. And then we sort of transitioned our messaging to be focused more about how we're doing our part to help save the planet. And why are we doing this, and how is this really benefiting the community and our future? So that was sort of the transition and the messaging over the years. So again, piggybacking on that, we really focus on in the winter, focusing more on, you know, going carbon free, encouraging folks to really do what they can to be green. And then in the summer, we really focus on how can you save energy and help reduce, the load from the grid and really help with, how can you really take advantage of DCE and lowering your bills, and what are some tips and energy saving ways that you can do that. So that's kind of the core of the messaging that we have. In terms of just what we do, Again, in terms of graphic design and branding and marketing, maintaining that brand, developing collateral materials. You can see a few of them here, and I'll have some on the next slide as well. But materials for different programs, just general materials about DCE, certain campaigns and programs that we're doing, materials for events. There are a series of notices that go out, which I'll touch on in a second. That are done for every time there's a new customer. Every time, if you're a Solar NEM customer, you get a true-up statement. There's annual notices that go out. So we do all of those in terms of the creating those notices and branding them and coordinating the mail on them. And then there's also email blasts that go out related to those and other programs. And then other flyers and notices that come up. We also do the social media, as I mentioned, and create all the graphics for that, including things for Flex Alerts, which are kind of energy-saving events statewide that come up when there's strain on the grid. And then other program partnerships, with the big one being our OHM, Ohm Connect partnership, which is really kind of a demand response partnership, encouraging folks to save energy when there's high energy events with their app. And then we also do quite a bit of branding and graphic design for the website when needed. So here are a few examples of our different collateral materials that we've done. We have a few, these are mostly flyers, and then we have just like a little ad or banner that we did. And then, as I mentioned earlier, so notifications, we have quite a bit of mail that we still do. And quite a bit of email notifications that we do for customers. And some of these are kind of Savannah could correct me if I'm wrong here, but a lot of these are kind of required by the CPUC, and there are certain content and material that we have to put in there. So we have some constraints on those, but we really try to incorporate, you know, and this one here on the left, you know, thanking residents and businesses for helping fight climate change, kind of acknowledging the accomplishments that DCE has done in the last year or so. And that was also combined with our power content label. So that shows customers what the energy mix is that they're receiving from DCE and how it compares to SoCal Edison. So in a lot of our materials, we try to incorporate some messaging or some broader program goals in the extent that we can. So there are various different notifications that go out for, you know, comparing rates between DCE and SoCal Edison. Those are done annually. The power content label is done annually. Whenever there's a new customer, they get a notice, you know, and welcome them to DCE. If you're a solar customer, you get a notice regarding your true-up statement. So there's a lot of different notices that go out, and we help with all of those. And then I just wanted to highlight that on all of our materials, we want to make sure that we're really putting emphasis on equitable access. So all of our materials are professionally translated, and if they're not sent out physically, they're at least available on our website. So we have a lot of these just at our events, on our website. They're done for all our materials. And we also have staff at events that's bilingual as well. So it's just a really key thing that we're trying to do to be really make sure that we're, you know, having equal opportunities for folks to engage and talk to us and communicate with us. And I think there's even more that we can do on there. So our goal is to increase that as we go. So one of the campaigns that we did not too long ago was a carbon-free business recognition program, really to showcase the businesses that are carbon-free and to provide them with marketing materials and some recognition. So it's a paid promotion of a video. We showcased them with videos. So we had a variety of restaurants and hotels and small businesses that we have showcased on our website and that we promote on social media. And, excuse me, we're also, you know, using that as a tool to try to recruit other businesses to be recognized and to also encourage them to go carbon free. And just generally as a way to thank them for doing so with this recognition.
Can I ask a question?
Is sure. It okay if we save questions?
Yes. How did a business qualify to appear on that slide? The one you had before? The carbon-free business, you said.
Yes. It's very simple. There's a go to the website. We have a page on our website for the program, and it's just a simple form to sign up. And then our team, and by our team I mean Savannah and the team at DCE, will look to just confirm that the business is indeed a carbon-free business.
Which means what?
And that they're on the carbon-free plan.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And if they are, then we would incorporate them in this marketing materials. And if they're not, then they could, you know, potentially opt up to becoming a carbon-free business if they so wanted. So we're trying to make it a simple way for them to reach out to us and let them know if they're interested. And I think we can still do a lot more promotion on this to help raise awareness amongst the business community in Palm Springs. So, but this is a relatively new program that we've created. So yeah, it's we'd like to get more businesses, I think, to be a part of it, and so I think that's one area where we could really use your ideas and support in furthering this.
Thank you.
Yeah. So did that help answer your question?
Yes, for sure.
Okay, great. So, and then, you know, one of the other things we do, which I mentioned earlier, is social media management. So creating graphics and schedule posts and managing, you know, responses. So just general things we focus on are just energy tips, you know, making sure that we acknowledge our customers, give them tips on ways to save money, highlighting our OHM Connect program, the demand response program, promoting that. You know, whenever there's high energy use events or just generally saving energy between the peak hours of 4 to 9 p.m., we try to encourage folks to do that. So not running large appliances, not, you know, turning down air conditioner, things like that, especially in the summer to help save on your bills. And then similar to that are the flex alerts that come up from time to time, those statewide energy savings events. So we create a variety of different graphics and post those and cross promote those on social media to try to raise additional awareness and engagement. And then lastly, one of the things we do is, as I mentioned, is just website design and maintenance. So performing those regular updates and providing recommendations kind of as needed and as things come up. And I think that's something we'll probably be looking at in the near future is how can we make even, you know, the website even better, more user-friendly and kind of update some tools and look at some new tools. So that's something I think that's on the horizon for this year. And then one of the other things that we do is we help with, you know, events and public relations. So just recently we helped put together an event and do the PR on our PPA signing ceremony with Terrigen and the city of Palm Springs in DC. So we had a kind of a power purchase signing agreement that was done at the windmills and with Terrigen and the elected officials from Palm Springs. And so we helped kind of put that event together in coordination with the team at CVAG and DCE and really helped get press at the event and really help just raise some positive awareness as to what DC was doing, that this was a major accomplishment for, you know, rate stability and savings long term. So we got some great coverage on it from News Channel 3, KSQ, and from the Desert Sun. So, I think, a great thing that we just did that was really well received by everyone. It was good to get some good coverage in the news from about this. And then one of the things we also help do, we haven't done a lot of this lately, but in the past, just helping with, you know, community meetings and workshops as they come up. When we did the launch of the program, we held a series of community meetings to educate folks, and just something that's in our toolkit. We do a lot of for other projects. So if that comes up for DC in the future, it's something we'll be probably helping with. Then community events, another big piece of our outreach and engagement. We staff about 4 or 5 events a year with the ones shown here. So I think we did most of these this year. And we had our new DC chair, Jeffrey Bernstein, in the picture on the right. We got a good picture of him at the last event at Black History Month. And really like to get out there and talk to folks, help explain, you know, what DC is and the differences between the rates and their options and the benefits of the program and, you know, how they can get involved and really kind of help also cross-promote some of our other programs, such as the Demand Response OHM Connect program and Spire Diversity and some other things like that. So we try to go to as many events as we can. And coming up, Palm Springs is going to be having an Earth Day, Arbor Day Festival on the 26th at Victoria Park. And the city has invited us to participate, and so we will be there. And would love to have, if any of the members of the committee would love to attend or support us, we'd love to have you there. And I don't have too many details just yet, but the city is planning this event as we speak, and I think we're excited to be a part of it. Hasn't really been much activity on Earth Day the past few years, over the past few years, so I think it's great that this sustainability department at the city is doing this, and you know, we're excited to be part of it. So, so put that on your calendars for the 26th at 8 a.m. And with that, that's it. I just wanted to give you guys a quick kind of overview of all the things that we do and can do, and I hope that was helpful and informative, and I'm happy to help answer any questions that you might have. So I'm here to that's it for me. So I'm here to answer any questions, and
thank you,
shoot
Josh.
Away.
We do have one question. Noah?
I have a couple of questions. Yeah, hey, Josh, it's Noel.
Hey, Noel.
Hi. So real quick, I know you mentioned that we want to get more businesses, but I'm also assuming with a lot of that outreach, we're trying to get more residents on one of these plans. Is that correct?
The carbon-free business recognition program is really geared towards businesses.
Yeah. But we're also trying to get more residents on like a residential plan. Is that correct? With like the marketing outreach that we're doing? Or is it just awareness?
It's more that program's really just geared towards businesses. We haven't done a program geared towards residents.
Got it.
So I think if we wanted to do that, it's a good idea. Probably something we should do maybe in the fall though. Mm-hmm. But just because summer's coming and we've been sensitive about promoting the carbon free in the summer because rates are high. Carbon free is a premium, and you know, so it's we try to focus that messaging more towards the cooler months.
Okay,
but I think it's a great idea, and it's something we've discussed in the past but haven't done to date.
Okay,
in terms of promoting carbon free for residents, so I think that's an opportunity that we could definitely explore.
Okay, so then most of our outreach is really just awareness. Then this is a program. This is what Palm Springs does for the community. Okay. No, that makes sense then. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, that actually answers all my questions, except I would like to do the Earth Day thing. So however you sign up for that, I'd love to know and I'd like to support. So,
great.
But there we go. See, that actually, that was a lot fewer questions than I thought. Thank you.
I'm done. Thanks for that. That was really helpful. You've talked a lot about kind of the messaging that you bring, but I'm curious. I think what I'm really keen to sort of dive into a little bit, and I don't know if you can answer it or if it's coming back, but like, how effective is it? Like, how often do you post? What channels are you posting on? You know, are people actually paying attention to
like engaging with
are they engaging? Yeah. I'm really curious kind of like what's the sort of schedule, how are you approaching that, how effective is it, and to what extent, if it's effective, are we looking for new opportunities, or you know, it's not effective and we're trying to pivot?
I think when we're out in the community at events, I think it's effective. I think it's on social media. It's been a little bit of a challenge to get a lot of engagement. So I think there's opportunity for improvement and growth. We've been a little hesitant to go out there too much in recent years with all the increased rate increases, a lot of which is out of DC's control, which, you know, but it's just been a little bit of a challenge to be too much out there with a lot of those, you know, a lot of concerns about rate increases and we don't really have the ability to offer, you know, significant savings or discounts on rates.
I mean, it feels like that's an opportunity though to say, educate why the rates are increasing.
Mm-hmm.
Have we thought about that at all, or?
To add that to social media post? No, we haven't, but that would be a good thing to try to incorporate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you say your in-person engagement is effective, how do you track that?
Well, just talking to folks, logging, you know, feedback that we're receiving and conversations that we're having with folks at events primarily. So I think to the extent that we can maybe do more events, get out to other events, maybe do more, you know, if we wanted to look at other opportunities like presentations to stakeholder groups, take the show to them, if you will. You know, there's probably some more things we could do with 1PS if we wanted to, other groups like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a matter, you know, what are we offering them and how can we really get our message out to them?
I'm going to ask a pointed question. Why aren't we doing this?
Why aren't we
doing
it? Is it
lack of budget or?
Well, we do have budget constraints, and sometimes when we go to upper management for permission to do certain events, sometimes.
Okay.
It's.
So we're limited by budget.
Some are not approved yet.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's certain things that we could look to do. So we can definitely strategize a little bit more on that, and we'll come back at a future time with some ideas or have more of a brainstorming session.
Yeah, I feel like we need to have a brainstorming session. I mean, that's me.
Brainstorming session for, like, the marketing outreach for, like, do more, like, awareness or, like...
I feel like we're missing a lot of opportunities to... Like, we're not out there because we're worried because the rates are increasing, but I feel like that's precisely why we want to be.
Okay.
Like, we should be, you know,
mm-hmm.
we should that's be out there telling people why our rates are increasing,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, feels like there's a lot of, like, oh, we could be doing more of this, we could be doing more of that, but.
Well, yeah. I guess I could just add, as a new member of the committee and still trying to understand how this works. What is the goal here? I mean, is it to get more people using DCE? Does that make a cleaner environment? Does somehow we get more efficient electricity? I mean, what is the purpose of what we're trying to do? To get people into the specific program, the carbon-free program, or what exactly?
Yes, I would say the goal of Desert Community Energy, as well as the city of Palm Springs, was to get as many residents and businesses as possible within the city to be on the carbon-free plan, because then with that, we have actually helped the city save actually over 200,000 metric tons of, and probably more, of greenhouse gas emissions. So that's our goal, to try to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. And we've done that. Because a lot of our customers are carbon-free customers.
Right.
But we do have a good number that are also on Desert Saver as well, which is fine, but it's not as it's not as green as carbon-free.
It sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, because maybe I did misunderstand, but it sounds like what Josh was just saying was that we're really doing our marketing towards business to get more businesses on the business plan, and what we're doing with the residents is really just awareness. This is what Palm Springs has. It's not so much, there's not a lot of marketing to get people, residents, to join. We're right now more focusing on business. Is that correct? Like, it sounds like our goal right now is business. Am I wrong?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, yeah, to a certain extent, yes. And with that recent program, it's specifically the Carbon Free Business Recognition Program, that's geared solely to businesses.
Okay.
But I think we could do more specific outreach towards residents,
mm-hmm.
Either encouraging them to go carbon free. You know, we could also encourage residents that are not DC customers to become DC customers. You know, just explaining the benefits of being a DC customer on either plan versus an Edison customer. You know, and that, you know, keeping that money local and being able to reinvest in the community. And, you know, long-term investments with the power purchase agreements and rate stability and local control and all those other benefits that we you know, that I alluded to earlier that we have for the program.
Okay.
Well, so, if I could just throw in one more thing. To me, the idea, ideally for a residence, you would have a home that's got the batteries and the solar where if the grid fails or something, that home could be a standalone safe place to be in this desert in the heat. And kind of a goal might be, I know it's nowhere near a goal now, is to have DCE perhaps provide a program where they could help homeowners create that kind of an environment for their home where they're protected from a grid failure and also saving probably a lot of money by having their home with batteries and solar as a self-contained unit. I mean, that is a, to me, that would be an ultimate goal and a something you could persuade homeowners because they'll save a lot of money. I mean, I've seen this presented. I've had Renova come to my home, and the only reason we're not doing it is because I have to buy all the equipment. And but if somehow there was a program where DCE could build the capability for a homeowner to have all that and have it be a part of the home, but they're not obligated for a big upfront cost or also not a long-term obligation, would be a real way to sell a program to homeowners. Other than that, you know, it's just another way to get electricity for medicine. So anyway, that's a long question, but anyway, that's kind of a goal I would envision, and I know we're a long ways from having that as a DCE goal, but I would really like to somehow advance along that path to somehow end up with something like that provided by DCE or Edison or Renova, you know, somebody.
Thank you for sharing that, Don. Yeah. I think that's a great idea, and we are actually starting to research with the funds that we have accumulated from DCE because we have to build reserves, and that's what we've been focusing on for the past 5 years. We are now reaching that point where we're researching customer programs, and so we are probably not going to implement them until the following year because right now we're in that research phase. But battery storage is one of the things that I've also brought up because I think that's fascinating idea, but a super useful idea. It's practical because for that exact reason.
I'm very
reason.
Encouraged to hear that, so thank you.
I have one question about the analytics from the social media engagement. Are you able to generate a report for just showing, you know, the number of folks that actually click through?
Yep, we can do that. We have that. We look at that every month. It's unfortunately not. We don't have the greatest numbers, but we do have that. Look at it. I think to really increase our engagement, we would have to probably put a little bit more money behind it, and I think having those additional programs come online in the next year or so would also really help in terms of the content to engage folks.
I have a
Can I tie into that because I think these are all great ideas, but in looking at, like, if we're looking, we have commercial and then residential, is tying in if we have, say, a certain percentage of residents that are already on the system, but there's a certain percentage that are not, are they in specific, I don't know if we can, well, I guess we could, is there a certain community, neighborhoods that are less likely to be on either one of the programs, and finding out what the challenges are, and then focusing on what those needs might be, costs, need for grants, and looking at how to help those people get onto the system, and then tying that in with whatever they're researching with the future plans for, I don't know, probably grants or whatnot to get people to get onto those systems and help benefit their end costs and usage.
I'll let Savannah answer that. I know there are customer privacy concerns that we have. So there's so much, only so much we can do with the customer data that we have.
Sure.
So I don't know if we can do that kind of analysis and then use that for an outreach or marketing purpose like that. So I'd have to defer to Savannah.
Thank you, Josh. Yes. So on my end, I'm able to see a lot of the customer data, but Berkricks is limited on what we can share. So that analysis would be done on our end, and then what we could share without sharing customer-specific data, what we could try to do is maybe create a general map of showing percentage of what percentage of an area or a neighborhood, so not specifically showing where those specific customers are, but the percentage of a neighborhood or a community, which ones are Desert Saver customers and which ones are Carbon Free customers, and then, of course, which ones are SCE customers or not DCE. So we could do that kind of analysis, but it might take some time because I'm not exactly sure what specific we would have to ask our contractor that helps us with our data.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But I love that idea.
And a way to approach it without understanding privacy. And I appreciate yeah. privacy respects.
Yeah, and just so I understand, you're kind of looking for finding those communities that are maybe at a disadvantage and then seeing if we can offer them grants or rebates relating to electricity. Did I understand that right?
That's one. What's our layout now? Like, is it the north side, the south side, the east side that are big users that are tied in already and connected? Are there folks that are, it's mostly rentals and snowbirds, so there's all these different options that could be the reasons why people aren't tying into this. I think that might help with if you're trying to market, if there's a need. What's the need, I guess? I mean, we don't want to just market to market, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know what I don't know what percentage of residents actually are signed up. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, it's like on my street, is everyone using it? I don't know. But do you need all that? Like, generally speaking, what are the needs? Are people looking for battery backups with solar and having that full kind of off the grid capability? If the there's a need for that to augment costs. I mean, some people can afford it, some people can't. Like, there's so many things that I'm kind of thinking about that we could help improve or.
Yeah.
So very general. I'm not specific. I think it's good to people who. I think it's important to look at people who can't afford or are concerned about the affordability and the cost, because as you mentioned, rates are changing and that's out of our control. So how do we look at everyone to make sure we're inclusive? I guess.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bernard.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
No, you've been trying forever. Do we know how many residents and how many businesses are the percentage that are not DCE customers?
Yes, so 82% of the city of Palm Springs are DCE customers. Now, that breakdown of which ones are residential and which ones are commercial, I'd have to actually look at our data to remember that percentage because it's been a while since I looked at that.
Mm-hmm. You said 80%?
82%.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Yeah. But I do have to say, when we launched in 2020, people were auto-enrolled, and it was during COVID.
Right.
So a lot of the people, so we used to have 100%. And then it went down as people were kind of alarmed of like, what is DCE? I don't understand what I'm on. So they would opt out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did have some solar installers that also did not understand DCE, and customers that were solar customers thought that they were being double-charged on their bill, but they were not. DCE charges for generation because we're providing that electricity, and then SCE would charge for delivery and transmission. And so they would see both charges and think that they were being double-charged for electricity, but it was only one charge for electricity.
So then that's why we focus on awareness then. It's education, mm-hmm. it's awareness, because mm-hmm. we lost that less than 20% mm-hmm. numbers. I'm not great. But, oh, that makes a lot of sense. That's still really good, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Noel, we also just had a rough launch, I mean, right in the heart of COVID, and most of these community choice programs default folks into their low, you know, Desert Saver equivalent level, whereas Palm Springs took the opposite approach and really wanted to go green and deep.
No.
Oh, bummer.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, bummer.
Poor Josh. But still, nonetheless, that was a great question, Erin. I didn't even think of that, like,
92%. Wow. Yeah. But I like, Bernard, I like what you're saying, because I feel like understanding the 18% mm-hmm. and, like, is it just they couldn't afford it, and so maybe if we make them aware, even though it's not the clean option, there's the Desert Saver Energy mm-hmm. one that we can get them on, or other options that are going to be coming, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. Even, like, is there a neighborhood where, like, maybe we just, they just go attend their neighborhood meeting just mm-hmm. to be like, hey.
Sorry,
I got kicked off there.
Yeah, sorry about that, Josh. It has a timer on.
We're talking too much.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so we had a challenging program launch, and so we've always kind of been trying to really educate folks as to how DC works mm-hmm. And how the program works, and it's just a constant thing that we have to do, how the program works, why there are two charges. So there's a lot of that.
I mean, it is confusing. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. Because I'm in the business, I know, but, like, I'm constantly talking to my neighbors, like, it's okay, like, no, this is right, like, they're two separate things, and, you know.
Thank you. Thank you for doing
it. You know, like, but yeah. it is confusing. It's very, even for me, I'm like, okay, wait. Okay, this is...
Yeah,
and just intuitively, it just seems like, well, there are two charges. It has to be more than the single charge for medicine. So it's a little bit of a challenge. Yeah.
I do wonder whether so we have solar. So we're solar and storage, and we have enough solar that we more than enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say their name, but our solar installer did nothing but DCE. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's also an opportunity to go and talk to some of these solar installers mm-hmm. and, you know, like,
yes,
feels like there's a huge lack of just, like...
yes, that was brought up as an idea to do, but it wasn't approved. So we mm-hmm. should definitely bring that back.
Yeah, because our solar installer was... And they're a big player, I'll just say that. Mm-hmm.
It'd be interesting to find out what their issues are.
Yeah, why would they care?
Like,
yeah.
Kind of what they care about, meeting them where they're at and seeing where they're understanding what those issues are. That's it's important to know. And mm-hmm. if there are changes that can be made, and hopefully that is something, if it's still a very common, is it one company, two companies, well, you can do a survey of...
Well, the installers solar. Now, they're installing battery and solar, and you're not paying... a utility anything. You pay them. They become your utility. When Renova came...
Well, that's an option, I would say.
Yeah. Well, it is the option that they're offering now. I've got people in my neighborhood now buying this, and I would have bought it, except you're obligated to make that payment stream to Renova for 25 years for this equipment you've got on your house. You pay them. You don't. You get no more utility bill.
But that isn't... That's just to Bernard's point. They're miseducating you. They are miseducating you. I 100% promise you you can absolutely buy out. You do not have to be on a lease. You can buy the equipment outright.
Oh, yes, you can do that.
Yes.
I do have to interject just because we do have a hard stop at 5. They have a meeting scheduled after us.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Josh, for your presentation and for engaging us in that conversation. So I will have to go ahead and close out here.
Thank you, Josh.
Have a great rest of your night.
My pleasure, and I look forward to talking more with you guys in the future. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, bye. All right. Thank you, everybody, so much for attending today's meeting. I'm sorry that we do have a hard stop, that we can't go over five. But, Chair, I will leave that to you to adjourn the meeting officially.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
A second.
Thank you.